Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first verse, first chapter.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janmadyasya Yathonvayat Itaratashchartesha Vignyasvarat. Tene Brahma Hridaya Hridaya Adikavaye Muhyanti Yatsurayah. Tejo Vari Mridam Yathavinimayo Yatratri Sargom Risha. Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Kuhakam Satyam Paramdhi Mahi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janmadyasya Yatonvayat Itaratashchartesha Vignyasvarat. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Muhyanti Yatsurayah. Tejo Vari Mridam Yathavinimayo Yatratri Sargom Risha. Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. Om Namo Bhagavate.
The chief engineer of a complicated purport by Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Shilprabhupada ki. The chief engineer of a complicated construction does not personally take part in the construction. But he knows every nook and corner because everything is done under his direction. He knows everything about the construction, both directly and indirectly. Similarly, the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme engineer of this cosmic creation, knows every nook and corner, although affairs are being carried out by demigods. Beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, no one is independent in the material creation. The hand of the Lord is seen everywhere. All material elements as well as all spiritual sparks emanate from Him only. And whatever is created in this material world is but the interaction of two energies, the material and the spiritual, which emanate from the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. A chemist can manufacture water in the chemical laboratory by mixing hydrogen and oxygen. But in reality, the living entity works in the laboratory under the direction of the Supreme Lord. And the materials with which he works are also supplied by the Lord. The Lord knows everything directly and indirectly, and he is cognizant of all minute details. And he is fully independent. He is compared to a mine of gold, and the cosmic creations in so many different forms are compared to objects made of gold, made from the gold, such as gold rings, necklaces and so on. The gold ring and gold necklace are qualitatively one with the gold in the mine, but quantitatively the gold in the mine is different. Therefore, the Absolute Truth is simultaneously one and different. Nothing is absolutely equal with Absolute Truth. But at the same time, nothing is independent of the Absolute Truth. Conditioned souls, beginning from Brahma, who engineers the entire universe, down to the insignificant ant, are all creating, but none of them are independent of the Supreme Lord. The materialist wrongly thinks that there is no creator other than his own self. This is called Maya or illusion. Because of his poor fund of knowledge, the materialist cannot see beyond the purview of his imperfect senses. And thus he thinks that matter automatically takes its own shape without the aid of a superior intelligence. This is refuted in the shloka by Srila Vyasadeva. Since the complete whole or the Absolute Truth is the source of everything, nothing can be independent of the body of the Absolute Truth. Whatever happens to the body quickly becomes known to the embodied. Similarly, the creation is the body of the Absolute Whole. Therefore, the Absolute knows everything directly and indirectly that happens in the creation.
Om Ajnanati Nirandasayanandana Shalakaya Chakshuvan Melitam Jena Kadadhara Srivasara Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
As it is explained here by Sri Prabhupada, the living entity thinks himself to be independent in all his activities, owing to illusion. But in actuality, there is nothing in this universe which is independent from the Absolute Truth, Supreme Absolute Truth. I was reading a verse from First Canto, where Srila Prabhupada is explaining about the rule of Yudhishthira Maharaj. In Yudhishthira Maharaj's period, it is explained, Kamam Bavarsha Parjanya Sarva Kama Dugamahi Shishjusma Brajangavah Payaso Udaswatir Muda. That's a very famous verse. This verse says, Kamam Bavarsha Parjanya. In the time of Maharaj Yudhishthira, there were rains which profusely flowed at the appropriate periods. And the ground was naturally growing with lushy green grasses and forests and vegetation, fruits and vegetables and grains and everything. And the cows that ate those grass, they were also very happy. They had big udders flooded with milk. And wherever the cows would run, and the milk would ooze out of their udders and fall on the ground. And it was making a muddy pool of milk and dirt mixed together like that. So this is the period of Maharaj Yudhishthira. And Prabhupada says that the king of any state, the king of any country, he is supposed to be aware that the real success is achieved only by taking refuge of the Supreme Lord. When the king takes refuge of the Supreme Lord along with his citizens, then there will be profuse supply of everything. Like we here the rains or the grains or the cereals or the fruits. Even the pearls and jewels that are produced in the ocean, they are produced by the combination of the rains along with some astronomical influences. Just like when there is a Swati rain, when there is a rain during the Swati nakshatra. So there are some seashells which are having an open mouth. When the raindrop falls inside, it closes and then it goes under the ocean, and by some processing of some chemical and the Swati rain along with the whirling movement of the seashells, beautiful pearls are produced in the ocean. It's not the reproduction of man. Man is trying to imitate making this Navaratnas, but he cannot make like the original Navaratnas. So the Navaratnas of the ocean, or the gold and the silver and minerals, and the vegetables and grains and cereals, and all these things are ultimately produced by the Supreme Lord. Like here, Prabhupada explains that how the rains are not a product of man. Man cannot bring about rains, nor can man create pearls, jewels, or the grains, cereals, fruits, flowers. Man cannot produce any of these things. But the foolish man says, we want a government by the people, for the people, of the people. Where is God here? God is never taken into account. They want a government for whom? For the people. What about for God? So this year's government was not a government for the people, it was a government for God, centered around God. So when the masses are taught to surrender to the Lord and seek refuge under the protection of the Lord, then all the necessities of the people will be automatically supplied. That's very obvious. Everything will be supplied, as he explains that. And not only the eatables, even the forests or the vegetation or the herbs, the medicinal herbs, these are all not product of man. These are creations of God. You will see, Prabhupada explains many things there. The rivers, the hills, the oceans, the forests, and the minerals, all these things are actually products produced by God. Man has no say. Man has no hand. If man is observing them to be existing, he can take and use them. If they are not available, man will be suffering without them. But man has not produced them. They are not products of man. None of these things. So, Shishi Gavanitai ki Shishi Radha Kunyabhyari ki. So man forgets his dependence on God for getting all these resources from him. So when will he realize his dependence? Only when these things are taken away. At that time he will realize. Otherwise, man cannot realize. Or, in other words, he will not be thankful or grateful to God for supplying all these necessities. When these are taken away, just like when there is a famine, when there is a drought, there is no rice, there is no vegetables, there are no fruits, the basic things are taken away and they are not supplied, then the man will realize the value of these things. So, our dependence on our superior God is forgotten owing to false ego, Prabhupada says here, owing to illusion. Because one thinks I am independent, just as a child thinks I am independent from the parents. Sometimes the child goes to the market along with mother and father. Sometimes the parents may leave him alone to see that, you know, he learns to walk himself. So the child sometimes thinks that there's no one around me. Now I'm walking in the road myself. But the foolish child doesn't know where to go also. Where is he going? Where to go? He doesn't know that. In the same way, the living entity is so foolish to think himself to be independent. I was there recently in Mayapur and Kharagpur base. One student asked a very nice question to Janani Masprabhu. The answer to the question is very striking. So he asked the question, why is Krishna so cruel? Why is God so cruel that he is not giving any support? He is, you know, he has sent us to the material world so that we will suffer in the material world. Birth after birth, life after life, old age, disease, death and all these things. He said that it doesn't seem Krishna has any compassion. So Janani Masprabhu in response, he said something very interesting. He said the living entity in the spiritual world, as soon as he desires that I want to be independent. So now he only knows that I don't want to be with Krishna. I want to be independent. But he doesn't know how to be independent. Because even if he wants to be independent, he doesn't know where to go. Because the only place he knows is spiritual world. He doesn't know any other place. He doesn't know where to go. So it is Krishna who tells the living entity, don't worry, I know that you don't want me. So I will come as expansion, as super soul, and I will take you to the material world. So he creates a material world, a specially created place out of compassion of Krishna, for the living entity to be independent of him. So the super soul actually brings him to the material world. After coming in, the super soul is asking, the living entity is asking, so what should I do now? And the Lord says, you want to be independent, I have brought you here, now you do whatever you want. But he doesn't know what to do. At that time, the Lord has to give him, sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So he has to give these three things, matta smritir, he has to give the remembrance. Matta smriti means remembrance. Jnanam means knowledge. Apohana means forgetfulness. So the Lord has to first award him forgetfulness of him so that the living entity can think I am independent. Apohanam, why the Lord gives apohanam? Because the living entity begs it from the Lord. Please Krishna, I want to forget you so that I can think I am God. So Krishna says, okay, you want to forget me? Okay. Tadastu. He makes the living entity forgetful. Apohanam he gives. At the same time, Krishna, I told you that I want to enjoy separately. So give me some facility for enjoyment. Okay, take it. He gives the facility also. And he tells him, okay, this is the thing you wanted to enjoy? Enjoy now. So Paramatma is the one who tells him. He guides him like that. And then the living entity doesn't care for the Lord who is escorting him as a super soul. Rejecting him, thinking himself to be all alone and independent. He wanders in different species. Prabhupada gives example. Sometimes you see a rich man walking in the side of the street with a dog, catching the leash in his hands. So when the dog is walking, sometimes the man is watching. The dog is, going to the side and, picking up a bone to eat. Sometimes he goes to that side and he passes urine. So he moves here and there. And the man is catching the dog in hand. Of course, he's taking care that the dog is not, hit by some car or something. So he takes care. So in the same way, Prabhupada says, the Paramatma carries the living entity from one body to another. And just as the dog is wandering here and there and eating all dirty things, similarly the Jiva also, what is he doing? He's trying to do different nonsensical things. And the Paramatma is watching as a witness, silent witness. But just as the man is having a leash in his hand, the dog is under his control. But the foolish dog thinks, now I'm having a nice time outdoor. I'm wandering here and there. So he cannot run away. You will see that he is under stringent laws of the material nature, which are made possible by the Lord, a super soul. In the material world, the laws are very stringent. You can easily see that how stringent are the laws and how much are we dependent on the Lord for everything. For example, the air we are breathing. Somebody gets some asthmatic complaint, and they can understand the value of air. How valuable is a puff of air? Sometimes you feel, if this one puff of air doesn't go into my nose, I will die now. You feel like that, and then sometimes you are saved. So when you have breathing problem, you can understand. So we need air for our survival. Similarly, you do Nirjal Ekadashi, you understand the value of water. How important is water for our survival? One day, if you allow your throat to run dry, one full day, next day morning, you can see, like I was there in Chandigarh temple, Bhaktivinoda was the president there. So one Nirjal Ekadashi I spent there. So there was some youth camp was there, so he had called me for giving lectures and that. So we had that all day in Nirjal Ekadashi, we were fasting from water. Of course some people could not give that, they were drinking water in the afternoon, evening. So next day morning Bhaktivinoda came and he told, some devotees, all devotees who fasted from water, you sit that side, he said. He made us sit separately. And all those who took water, you sit here, he said. And all those who also took some prasad, they should sit on other side, third category. Of course, those who fasted from water, they got the best prasadam. Even those who did nirjal, they got, he gave sweet, this, with so many items he gave. So you can see, they had served everything on the plate, we were waiting. And he said, no, after everyone sits only, we will start together. Vaishnava means, we should have etiquettes. We should eat together prasad. He said, everyone should come, and we were waiting. And the boys were shouting, hey, come, sit, they were telling, urgent, we are feeling as if we are about to die. So, and then Mahaprasad started, and Hare Krishna was going on for a long time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He was personally leading the whole thing, walking and back and forth, chanting Hare Krishna. So we were wondering, that time he told us, so all of you are ready for taking prasadam? Yes. They were about to pounce on the prasadam. He said, wait a minute, he said, try to have little gratitude for Krishna, he said, how much are you eager to drink water now? There was juice also kept in the front, lemon juice was there, ginger water was there. Everyone was ready with a hand, like athlete about to run, like that. So he said, wait a minute. First, before you drink it, I know that anyway you're going to drink. But be a little grateful to Krishna. One day you cannot live without Krishna. Just one day in the material world without water, how much you struggle. That really moved us very much. As soon as he didn't give a go, he gave a lecture a little bit. About 15-20 minutes he spoke. And then when he allowed, everyone was, they were just swallowing. In no time the plate got empty. In 2 minutes the plate was empty. So they were hungry also and thirsty also. So we understood how much are we dependent on the Lord. We can see that in our life. Not only that, after eating the food, when food goes inside, then you need Krishna's help. Krishna says, isn't it? Aham vaishva naro bhutva praninam dehamashritah prana pana samayuktah pacham yannam chaturvidam. He says, I am the one who does the pachan kriya, digestion of the food in the stomach. Sometimes we are eager to eat nice foodstuffs, but then you eat and put in the stomach, it remains like a stone. It doesn't digest. So the Lord doesn't do that Vaishvanara job. What is Vaishvanara job? Digesting, Jataragni in the stomach. So he creates the fire which digests all the food and throws away the waste, and the nourishing part of the food, it goes to the system, body, to nourish the body. So we are not even doing that. We are not even doing digestion part. So food is supplied by him, and as soon as we take it, then it is digested by him, and it nourishes different parts of the body. So the foolish creatures, living entities, they think they are independent. At every step they are dependent. For every small thing they are dependent on him. As it is said here in this verse, Anvayat itaratas charte svabhigya swarat. It is said the Lord is abhigya, which means the Lord is knowledgeable about every nook and corner of the universe. He knows everything. What is happening where? Because the whole universe is created by him. So you look at a tree, take this banyan tree. The tree is so huge. There are so many branches, there are so many leaves, there are so many twigs, so many flowers and fruits. So who can be aware of the whole tree? Like when you're standing at the bottom of the tree, you cannot be aware of the whole tree. It is so complex and so huge. In the same way, this universe is so huge, so many planets and so many galaxies, so many universes. But because all these have emanated from Krishna, and Krishna, it is said, Goloka Nivasati Akilatma Bhuto. He is situated in the spiritual world, Goloka, but at the same time, he is also there in every atom. So he is watching as a silent witness in every atom, all the things happening. So nothing can escape his sight. The Lord is the most intelligent. And no one can do any activity which can escape his sight. You can't say that by somehow or other, I had a hideout, I did something which Lord did not know. Nobody can say that. That is why he gives an example. Just like in our body, say if a mosquito comes and sits, lands on your back side of your body and starts putting the needle, as soon as you feel the pain, immediately you will see your hand goes there. Hey, what is this paining here? A scratch like this, isn't it? So you are sensitive. Your hand goes there. Or in the leg, sometimes a thorn pricks the leg. Immediately you take your leg and see where is the thorn, you remove it. So you are aware of the whole body as a, it's called as a kshetrajna. Kshetrajna means knower of the body. So we are kshetrajna of the individual bodies. But we don't even know what's happening beyond that wall. We don't know what is happening in others' minds, others' bodies. Like somebody is having a headache, but I can't understand how they are suffering. Or somebody is very joyful that they got something, but I don't feel that joy. I cannot feel that. Because we don't have understanding of the other living entities' feelings. But the Lord is called as Lord himself says, Kshetrajnam cha api mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata, he says. Sarva kshetreshu means, I know all the bodies, he says. Every single body I know. Because in every body the Lord is seated as super soul, sitting in the heart of every living being. So he knows the heart of every living being. So as soon as you know this truth and you develop faith in this, your life will not be the same. There is one devotee in Bombay. He was telling me, when he came to Krishna consciousness in the early days, he was not so serious. But one day he was reading Prabhupada's book, and there he heard that the Lord is seated in our own heart. Dhyayet swadeha kuhare vasitasya vishnor. He is seated in the same body, along with the side of the soul. And he is witnessing all our activities. He is the Upadrishta. He is the Anumanta. He is the Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. Upadrishta means who is the director, the heart. Anumanta means the permitter, sanctioner. Bharta, or the protector, maintainer. So as soon as he heard this knowledge, he said he kept the book down. His head started reeling. Immediately he went deep in a state of meditation. And he said, that was a big transformation in my life, he said. As soon as I knew that Lord was sitting in my heart, I at once gave up committing sin. And I at once gave up all my desire to enjoy the world. Because this person is watching, he is the Supreme Father. He is sitting by my side and he is watching. And my behavior turned like diametrically opposite. It's like North Pole to South Pole. My behavior changed. He said, of course the truth is there in the books, but it has to affect us. The truth has to affect us when we understand the truth, when we know the truth. So, the Lord is seated as Paramatma. He is like the master of the dog, who is guiding the dog. Similarly, the living entity is being guided by the super soul at every step. Every small step. We cannot do anything. Like, for example, if you have insomnia, you will know how valuable is the sleep you are getting. There are some richest people in India, it came in the paper, who are suffering from insomnia. They just cannot sleep all night. You remember there was a boy in COIP. One boy used to suffer from insomnia. You know that? Yeah. So he used to, all night he cannot sleep, but eyes would be paining, eyes would be burning, but he cannot sleep. He'll be awake all night. Practically, he'll see all his friends snoring and sleeping nicely. But he'll be watching here and he'll come out, he'll go in and head will ache like anything. It's a severe headache because you are not sleeping, but you cannot sleep if you want to sleep. So when the super soul allows you to sleep, he sanctions you. When you lie down, okay, now I permit you to sleep. Then you start snoring and sleeping. After that. Otherwise you can't even sleep. Even sleeping is a benediction to get a good sleep. Some people, you see, as soon as they lie down, immediately they are snoring. Immediately. Other people, they are lying down, turning left side, right side, 1 hour, 2 hours, they don't get sleep. Even sleep, to get a good sleep is a benediction. So if you eat food, to digest the food is a good benediction. To have good breathing, to breathe properly without having the breath choked up, it's a benediction. So these are all actually allowed by the super soul. We don't have any independence. So when we say that the living entity is dependent on the Lord, two things we can understand. One is that all the supplies that the living entity is enjoying in the world, the resources, they are all supplied by Him. And when they are taken away, the living entity will perish. The living entity will become miserable. So, that is one thing we can understand, that all the supplies are needed. Second thing we can understand about our dependence on the Lord is based on how the living entity is not completely free. The living entity is bound by stringent laws and is punished when he goes out of control. You can see that just like a cow tied to a pole cannot go beyond that radius in which it's tied. He is allowed some freedom to eat grass and everything, but that is only a particular radius. He can't run away. If he somehow cuts off the rope and runs away, he'll get a good beating. Similarly, the living entity also is given a limit to exercise his freedom. And he can't exercise the freedom beyond that. And if he does, then he has to suffer. Like it is said, the human body is the body where we create fresh karma, new karma. Animal bodies have no karma. Animal body means working off the old karma. That's all. Plant's body, animal's body. Just work off the bad karma. When you worked off all the bad karma, you come back to human body again. Even the devata's body, there is no karma. Devata body means just reap off the punya. Just like the plants and animals are reaping off their pap, devatas are reaping off their punya. When punya gets over, they will again get a human body. So they also don't create any fresh karma. But even such devatas have no complete freedom. While being in a devata body, although they don't create fresh karma, but if they go out of limits, then they are punished, like Nalakur Manigre was punished. One Vidyadhara was flying in the sky, he criticized Angiramuni, isn't it? And he was cursed to become a snake, isn't it? Like Devala, Rishi, when he was taking a dip in the water, Kuhu came, Gandharva, he was, you know, tickling with his legs, just like a crocodile. So the sage caused him to become a crocodile. I can give so many examples. That means, whether one is a demigod or one is a human being, when one goes out of control and one breaks the laws of God, then one has to suffer punishment. So that shows that the supremely independent Lord has made laws to govern the universe by which He controls the living entities. There are stringent laws. Just like, as soon as there is stringent law, you can know that somebody is laying down such stringent laws. Just like you go to Singapore. If somebody is found to be doing drug peddling, they will get a severe punishment. The most severe punishment in the entire country, entire state, is for those who deal with drugs in Singapore. So there are some places like that. So that's the law there. There are some countries where they float the drugs freely, publicly. Nobody catches them. Isn't it? So one country has one rule, another country has another rule. But these are all moral laws also vary in the material world. Like in India, if a girl, unmarried girl, is found to be walking in the road at 12 o'clock, at least in towns, if you see, it's considered very bad according to the moral laws of India. One is not supposed to wander at midnight like that. But in America, it is quite common. In America, because the moral laws may vary in the world, between one country and another country. But there are laws which are beyond mundane moral laws, which are the supreme laws of God. Just like a man has made for a particular state or a particular country, God has made for the whole humanity. Laws which He has given in the scriptures. And anybody who breaks those laws cannot escape the vigil of the Lord. The vigil of the Lord is there through many agents. He is not obliged to be running after every living being. But He has many agents who can do work for Him. Just like the Chandra, the Surya, and the Bhumi, and the water, and the air, and the demigods, and the directions, and the super soul. Many agents the Lord has. And all these agents are constantly watching us at every moment. What are we doing? That is why a devotee of the Lord never thinks he is alone. A devotee actually always remembers that every incident that happens in my life is an orchestration of Krishna. Every incident, every small thing that happens in my life. If some devotee comes and tells me a nice thing, a devotee feels Krishna has sent him to inspire me. A devotee feels like that. Every small thing, if something damaging happens to a devotee feels, you know, Krishna wants to purify me. Krishna wants to show His mercy to me. Krishna wants to teach me a good lesson. A devotee feels that. So, a devotee considers every situation as an opportunity for learning. And at the same time, he understands that learning opportunity is provided by Krishna. Krishna is doing that. Because Krishna is abhijna, He is all-knowing. Like, you know, I used to always say, like when somebody becomes manager, so they will get many experiences, dealing with so many people, different type of nature of people. Just tell them, this is Krishna giving you an opportunity to purify your heart. Because, you know, we have certain tendencies with which we were going on, indulging in such tendencies. And then when you are given a responsibility, at that time, people come to you with the same tendency, what you show. For example, say somebody is whimsical, in dealing with their superiors, and superiors are crying. When you become manager, somebody becomes whimsical to you. Now how do you feel? You feel the pinch. And when you chastise that person, you realize actually that this is something which I am working on myself. We will learn a good lesson. Same thing with everything. So a devotee sees that I am not independent of Krishna, I am dependent on Krishna for the resources of the material nature. Not only that is only a preliminary step. To say that, okay Krishna, you are giving me food, you are giving me clothing, shelter, you are giving me water supply, air to breathe. And this is only the first step. Beyond that, one has to know that Lord is not only as a father supplying all these things, but He is also escorting me as a super soul, giving me smriti, jnanam, apohanam. Read the Vaishnava songs. In the Vaishnava songs you will see, the Vaishnavas are praying, that my dear Lord, I have turned away from You and I have wandered away. But You are like a Supreme Father. How is it that You are also allowing me to wander like this? And You have rejected me like this. Does it befit You as a father? Is this the meaning of a father? A father is supposed to protect the child. And You are allowing me to wander like this. I know very well that I am a fool. I had independent desire. So I have come here to enjoy separately. But if You also reject me, that doesn't give any beauty to You. So You catch me and slap me. Give me a slap left, right, and bring me to the correct path. So Vaishnavas pray like this. So this kind of prayers are very wonderful because Vaishnavas go one step ahead, understanding not only that God is giving everything, This was for my enjoyment. Some people say, God is very good, He has given the whole world for our enjoyment, they think. No. Many Christians think like that. They think, God said, let there be light, let there be earth, let there be plants, animals, everything. And in this way, God is a good father. He has supplied everything for our enjoyment. No. To think that the government is for the people, by the people, of the people, or the resources are meant for the people to enjoy, is utter foolishness. These are all not for our enjoyment, these are for the service of the Lord. The whole material nature is given to the superior living entity, so that the living entity may take those things and use it in Lord's service. Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Vachate. Prabhupada is challenging in one of his purports. He is saying, when there is milk, grains, fruits, cereals, minerals, pearls, jewels, and cows giving abundant milk, a nice place to live, there is prosperity in the world supplied by the Lord, by the worship of the Lord. When all this is there, what is the need of cinema houses? What is the need of big factories where thousands of people work hard all day? What is the need of liquor shops? What is the need of organized slaughterhouses to kill millions of animals? What is the need of cigarettes? What is the need of intoxicants? What is the need of prostitutes? In this way, modern man is indulging in all these things in the name of enjoying life, or is working hard for economic development, foolishly, not knowing this fact that we can make big factories, but without the blessing of the Lord, one can never experience happiness. It's not possible. One may have big factories, thousands of people working, one may work hard and economic development also may happen, they may produce a lot of money, but they cannot be happy without the sanction of the Lord. Happiness and distress are sanctioned by Krishna. It is not by our endeavor that we can acquire them or achieve them. We cannot adjust the sufferings of the material world independently without the sanction of Krishna. That is the main point here. Of course, there is happiness and distress in the world. You can agree to accept one suffering in one form, or you can accept it in another form. But you cannot do away with it. That's not possible. We have to undergo it. But who can help us to do away with it? Krishna can do that. If one surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna can alter the karma of the living entity, the reactions of the living entity. And Krishna can bless the living being. And you can take him out of the tabernacle entanglement of the material world, out. So, modern man's so-called progress, Prabhupada said, it is bravely going to hell. Somebody asked Prabhupada, disciple, Prabhupada, they say that these modern materialistic people are very brave. They are starting big industries and employing thousands of people, producing different things. Prabhupada said, they are bravely going to hell. Simply bravely going to hell. It involves so much hard work, but the hard work doesn't give you even an inch progress in the spiritual path. It just keeps you stuck up in the material world. No progress of the soul. And in the name of material progress, they are rotting in the material world repeatedly. So the progress of science and technology is simply the exploitative mentality of a conditioned soul to manipulate matter for his own selfish enjoyment. It can be easily seen. He simply wants to manipulate matter for his own personal comforts and luxuries and enjoyment. So, that comes actually, that sprouts from this attitude of thinking I'm independent. As soon as a living being can perceive, I am not independent, my collar is caught from behind. Somebody is there who is letting me move forward or backward. At once he will drop all the control that he is having. At once he will drop all the enjoying mentality. Immediately. You will see that we hold on to enjoying mentality and controllership and doership only because we think we are independent. As Krishna says, Pakrite Kremanani, Udayan Karmani Sarusha, Ahankara, Vimudatma. Ahankar means mamakar, ahankar. That actually comes when we think we are independent. That's why the very first thing is being striked here. That we are not independent. We are dependent on the Lord for every small thing. And our body is such a complex body created by the Lord. And we are trapped in this body like a prisoner, trapped in a jail, handcuffed. Like, you know, when you handcuff a person, he loses all independence. So the material body is like handcuffed. It's a curse. Sometimes you see somebody having a long chain, you know, ball chain, you know, that they're connected to the leg. Yeah, he cannot move actually. But if somebody thinks it's a gold medal, or they put a very nice medal for me, he's a great fool. So the material body is not a great blessing, it's a great curse. Because the material body makes us suffer. There are so many sufferings in the material body. So one who contemplates on the sufferings of the material body will very soon come to know the fact that I am under the stringent laws of this material body. The material body we think is mine, but we have no control over it. We are sitting inside it, but we have no control over it. It is directly controlled by the three modes, which are orchestrated by Durga Devi. And the Durga Devi is activated by Krishna. Ultimately, Maya Adhyakshin Prakriti, Krishna is controlling it. So, this is all explained in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita very nicely. One has to know the connection between these three things. The living entity, the material nature, and the super soul. If one knows these three things, how they interact, then at once one will lose the desire for controllership. One will know that actually, I am not the controller, I am not the enjoyer, I am not independent. So that is the purpose of this first verse, where it is explained, Lord is abhijna, Lord is swarat, and He is independent. He is independent, we are not independent. So, purpose is, what is the meaning of independence? As soon as you are controlled by someone or something, you are not independent. And we all are controlled. We can know that. So it is better for us to accept our subordination to the Lord and agree to serve Him and love Him and surrender to Him for our own welfare. He doesn't benefit by our saluting Him. He is not going to benefit in any way. Whether you salute or not, it doesn't matter for Him. But our saluting will benefit us. Our surrendering to Him will benefit us. Because when we connect ourselves to Him, then our life will become glorious. Just like the hand of the body. Even if you cut off the hand and keep it away, then also body can run. You have seen people with the hand cut off? They have no problem. Their body goes on, they can live. But the hand cannot have any potency. You cut off the hand, it cannot do any activity. It cannot lift an object or do anything. Like the way the hand is doing activity now, we cannot do. But so it is the hand's need to get connected to the body so that the hand can function very nicely. So the living entity has to understand this, that I am actually, hand should realize that I am getting all this potency from the body. As soon as I cut off myself, then I will lose all my potency. So devotees are taught this first fundamental fact in life, that we are dependent on Krishna. And we are at His mercy for everything. We are at His mercy for eating, sleeping, progressing in Krishna consciousness, saving ourselves from the clutches of Maya. In every respect, we are dependent on Him. Actually, I was planning to finish the class early today because 10 o'clock devotees are going for the seeing the new temple land. So we'll stop here. Okay. I'll personally answer any questions. శ్రీల ప్రభాకి గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతంకి గౌరవ భక్త బృందకి థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్. సో డివోటీస్ క్యాన్ యాక్చువల్లీ డివోటీస్ హ్యావ్ టు బి రెడీ అట్ 9:50 ఆర్ 9:55 బికాస్ విజయగోపాల్ ప్రభు ఇస్ కమింగ్ టు షో ద ల్యాండ్ బట్ హీ హాస్ టు గో టు హిస్ ఆఫీస్. సో హీ హాస్ టోల్డ్ అస్ టు బి దేర్ అట్ షార్ప్ 10:30. డోంట్ డిలే, బస్ విల్ బి వెయిటింగ్, లక్ష్మణ్ ప్రభు ఇస్ రెడీ. సో 10 o'clock షార్ప్ ద బస్ విల్ మూవ్ ఫ్రమ్ హియర్. Those who want to go, can go in the bus. All right.